Thank you to Josh for leading us through those last verses. We appreciate everything that he had studied and everything that he left with us. So here's what we're going to do, guys, is in your groups, we're going to put up the questions. So hopefully the questions are going to come up on the screen just right about now. There we go. So we have five questions. What I want you to do is we're going to take maybe 10 to 15 minutes. I want you to pick in your group two out of the five questions, okay? So you don't need to answer all five, but don't waste a lot of time in thinking through which one. Just grab two out of the five questions that are on the screen, and then after about, say, 12, 15 minutes, we'll come back, and then I'm going to get one table to answer just one question each, and I'll pick a few different people. At the end of this today, we've got to clear out pretty quickly. There's an event in afterwards, but I'm going to give you some instructions about that when we close. So pick two out of the five questions in your discussion groups, and let's chat this together, and then we'll come back and discuss. All right. We want to hear from you guys and what you have discovered. This is super informal, so don't be embarrassed. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down through the five questions, and I'm going to ask for a group just to, you know, if you discuss this question, put your hand up. Riley's going to run the mic, and we want to hear from your thoughts, what you've learned and gleaned from this passage that probably is so familiar to all of us, and yet there's so much in it that maybe you've never seen before, which actually takes us to our first question. I want to hear from a group that you can tell us, what have you learned from these verses that you had never thought about before? What group tackled that? Who can kick us off? Oh, wow. No, okay, this group did. Honestly, love it. Hey, it's not past the parcel.
Oh.
Go, Alex.
Okay. I was just going to say that I really love the topic of the law versus grace and how the law was given through Moses. And we always talk about how the law can point you in your sin and kind of just expose you in that way, but it's not what's going to save you. In that, how Moses was a man, but then you see Christ, the God man, mm-hmm. who, you know, the true and better Adam that came and lived on this earth as a man, but, you know, as the law came through Moses, he's just a man, but then Christ can give you grace and truth.
Yeah.
And just the beauty of that and how he fulfills.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Salvation. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. When we think about the law, so often we think that, even maybe by not realizing, we sometimes think our salvation is in the law, but I've got to do, you know, I've got to live to a certain standard. And yet the law was always functioning for really two purposes. One, to show us how much we couldn't meet God's standard. And two, to constantly point us to Christ. And that's a brilliant observation, Alex, that we see where John brings those two things together in John 1. And he said, the man who brought the law, this thing that we couldn't live up to, well, it was all pointing to a greater man who would bring grace and truth and ultimately salvation that's found in him. So really good observation, Alex. I love that from John 1. Okay, where can we go to a group who dealt with number two? What does this section teach us about Jesus' identity? Who can take that one for us? Yeah, this group here. Love it.
So we were discussing, obviously, Jesus is not just a human, but is fully God. There's two natures at once. It's not simply one nature. There's the fully human nature and also the fully God nature. And why that is so important is because when we only perceive Jesus as a human, which I feel like some churches are kind of humanizing Jesus, is we lose the reverence of God. We forget that Jesus is so holy and absolutely knew no sin that he bore the sin for us. So we you know, Second Corinthians, But so that through looking at Jesus, the human image, we can get to know God. Like through it's a we can understand God, but obviously, God is so magnificent and is, but yeah, that is why it's so important.
Yeah, that's good. Wow, you guys are doing work, theology work, trying to put it together. And that's great, you know, that shows us that just because Jesus became a man doesn't make him any less less God. We can't minimize who he was. And yet it's an incredible mystery. And when we're taught this in seminary, our theology professor keeps asking us, do you understand this? And when we say yes, he scolds us for it. And I think it's a really good place to be, actually, is because you guys will never, and none of us will ever be able to fully understand what it meant that he was fully God. And yet, as we heard this morning in big church, that he got tired because he was also fully man, those two natures in one. So I really love that you guys are wrestling through that. And if you guys wrestled through that and you were frustrated, that trying to understand what Josh told us as the hypostatic union, it's okay to be frustrated. You'll wrestle with it your whole life and all of eternity because it's something we will never be able to understand. So, hey, good job, you guys. Number three, this is really a question where theology intersects with our lives. And that's always the purpose. When we study God, we study his word, and we study the person and character of who God is, that's theology, it's always to affect our lives. So I want to hear from a group who can just share their thoughts on how should Jesus' identity in this section in John 1 affect how we live? What we've learned about Jesus, how does that affect the ways that we live? Okay, over here, yep. This group over here. Run, Riley, run.
Yeah, about his identity as, I think, verse 14, his glory and the glory of being the Son of God and being from heaven and just being perfect and full of grace and full of truth. I think that stark contrast between heaven and earth and him coming down, especially in like first morning service, I think it really shows his humility and his lack of entitlement and going to the cross and dying. And Isaiah 52, like, he was marred so much that you couldn't tell he was even a man. You couldn't tell that he was even a human being at that point. And yeah, just realizing, like, reflecting on my instances of anger or of feelings of entitlement, like, where does it come from? If I'm looking to Christ and I believe that this is true, how can I claim to have, you know, any claim to anything? Claim to comfort, entitlement to not being wronged, just questioning those things, second guessing, trying to find blind spots where I'm not even realizing that my decisions and my thoughts are grounded in a sinful desire for, like, comfort, for respect, for, you know, all these different things.
That's really good. Yeah, as we behold Christ, the ultimate standard, and the whole purpose of the Christian life is to strive to live like Christ. And we see him who, you know, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He was so gracious, and it's such a challenge, you know, as we seek to live that way and show Christ, as we thought last week about being a witness to the world in our, not just our words, but our lives, and how we need the Spirit's help to be able to do that. That's really, really good. Okay, our penultimate question. I'd love to hear from a group who can just share with us what do we learn from John the Baptist in this section. That was last week's message, and we focused on John the Baptist. So who wants to share with us what you learned about John the Baptist, if any group took that question? Wow, did nobody take that question? Oh, this group did. Yeah, Aiden did, okay. I don't know if the group did, but Aiden took that question. Hey, Aiden, that makes me feel really good that you're the only person who cared enough about my sermon to think about it. I'm only joking.
No, actually, I can hear myself right in the speaker. This is weird. Actually, Audrey Prinzing was the one that brought something up. She doesn't have to speak, so I'll be her microphone. But she was saying that in reading back this passage, what was really interesting to see is that out of all of the prophets of the Old Testament, what is really encouraging and cool to see is that John the Baptist was the first prophet to see the fulfillment of the Messiah to come and had the privilege of not only saying, look at what I'm doing, but to say, look at the privilege I have of ushering in that promise. Wow. And so for him, waiting for Christ to come to make the path ready for the king to come, it was just an interesting observation that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Yeah, so good. That's such a great observation. And historically, not to kind of nerd out on it, but you got to remember that there had been 400 years of silence. The last time God spoke through a prophet was 400 years prior. So you imagine 400 years where God had not spoken, and then John the Baptist is not only the first to, you know, to emerge on the scene, but, you know, he was the I guess, the beginning of a new chapter as God again turns and again begins to speak to the world through the prophet. So that's a brilliant observation. I love that about who he was. Okay, our last question, just to wrap us up, discuss some of the blessings of the word becoming flesh. They beat you to it. I'm sorry, brother. They beat you to it.
All right, so in our group, we were actually talking about how it reminded us of 1 John, specifically chapter 2, verse 23, which says, "Everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also." And so we were just kind of talking about how we used to have to go to the tabernacle and follow special rules to talk to God, but how special and unique is it that we can now talk to God the Father directly through Christ, who is our mediator.
Yeah, that's really good. And I love that Josh brought out this morning just about that all the Jews had to go through to commune with God through the tabernacle and all of those things, and yet that's been replaced through Christ, who has become our mediator. Brother, let me give you your time. You've got 30 seconds. Ready? This needs to be epic. Nah, I'm only joking.
Thank you. Well, I think the most beautiful thing is, at least that we discussed over here, was that how his example showed us that he cares about us, and he didn't see becoming us as something below him, and also knowing that we have a priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses and things that we're faced on the earth. So I think beforehand you could have maybe been like, oh, well, you come and do it then, and then he did it, and then he was perfect, and still loved us at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah, and I love that. And I'm just looking it up. In Hebrews 2:11, we have this incredible statement where it says that he's not ashamed to call us a brother. And I think how many times I'm ashamed of Jesus, and yet he is not ashamed of me, and he's not ashamed to call me a brother. And he condescended to become like us and yet without sin. And he's our great high priest. So I love that. Guys, it's been a joy to hear from you and to listen to your insights. And it's so encouraging to us because particularly those of us who have preached up here, we preach and we hope that we're serving you well. And it's just a joy then to listen to you feedback to us that you're in the word, you're tracking, and that it's affecting your life. And that's what we want for you guys. We long for you to grow in your faith. We long for you to love Jesus more, to love the church and to serve. And as we draw this season to a close today, we want you to continue to serve Jesus over the summer through the month of July. Don't take a break. Keep loving the Lord. Keep meeting up. And I want to encourage that over the summer, even though there's not organized Bible study. Get together with those in your study. Have those organic hangouts and fellowship times together. But do please join us. Keep an eye on our socials as we update you on what's happening with Super Study. But plan to be in the basement on July 11 on that first Friday night. And then we'll take it from there. We'll be in touch with you about what's happening in August. But let me just read again verses 16 through 18. "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." May you, Crossroads, go with that grace and show grace and make Christ known. Let me pray, and then I'm going to give you a few instructions just about dismissing from the room to allow the guys in afterwards. Father, we are so thankful for this incredible passage that we've been studying these past few weeks that have shown us Jesus, the God-man, the mystery of who he is, fully God and yet fully man. And yet, as we've just been reminded, the fact that he was willing to become what we are, yet without sin, to draw us to the Father, to redeem us in a way that the law never could. We thank you, Father, that it's all because of grace. And we pray that as he has risen and has ascended, we have been left as witnesses. May we bear that grace and truth to this world and point people like John the Baptist did to Jesus. Bless this group, Father, over the summer. We pray for those who are serving in various ways, those going to Regen, those going on other STMs or whatever else is happening this summer. Bless them, Father, and be with us as we meet together on Friday nights, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.